You are now listening to the Friends of Rugby podcast. Relax your anus. Balls. Thick thighs. Camille Chat. Where's his neck? Eddie Jones. Fuck, mate. We're nice now.
And we're recording.
We're not doing a silence at the start.
Oh, I forgot to do that.
We can still do it.
Hold on. Let me. No.
Okay.
We're getting right into this.
Fuck.
Hello, friends. Welcome
Hello.
To the Friends of Rugby.
With improved microphones.
With improved microphones.
Yeah. We sound good, eh?
We sound like smooth butter.
We smell like smooth butter as well.
Do we?
I hope so.
How are you feeling?
Shit.
Well, Why is that?
I tore a muscle in my back.
Well, I don't care about that. I was wondering.
You fucking asked.
I was wondering, like, how do you feel about, like, rugby, you know?
Oh.
Yeah, I don't care about your health
Let
at
me continue
all.
This. I'm going to give you a metaphor. My back is like a metaphor for Welsh rugby, right? It's bad right now, but I know it'll get better. And that's how I feel about rugby and my back.
How much painkillers are you on?
Enough. Yeah.
Enough?
I'm cogent. But yeah, a little woozy.
I feel great.
Yeah, good for you. Yeah, nice haircut.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like that haircut.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good fitting shirt as well.
Thank you.
Is it one, you know, there's like ads and it's like, is your t-shirt making you look fat? Is it one of those ones?
I actually want to buy those shirts.
It looks like one of those.
Does it?
It's like it fits in the right places, you know?
Yeah. I feel thick.
You doing good?
Yeah.
Good.
Because rugby was exciting this weekend, even though there was no Six Nations.
It was exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super Rugby's kind of announced itself.
It did.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get into that.
Yeah, we will. We will.
Yeah. Also, these bye weeks that they have in Six Nations.
Yeah.
I think they need to go.
I think one is enough, isn't it?
One is enough. Yeah. I don't know why. Why do we need two?
There's probably some kind of rugby window / player welfare agreement going on. But it does feel stupid to me. There might be too much rugby in a year.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know.
But I do agree. I think 1 week break is fine right in the middle.
Yeah.
Gives you a little
It kills
rest.
The vibe. It kills the flow of the whole tournament.
Yeah, the momentum. The fan momentum goes, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it does. That's 100%.
Yeah, I've lost. Not enthusiasm. I always loved the tournament. But like, we're not rolling into the penultimate weekend talking about what's going on as much, are we?
I just want to go. Yeah, one weekend off.
Mm.
Okay.
I think rugby is unique because the international game is as big, if not bigger, than the club game, right? That's kind of unique in sports.
Yeah.
And I think they're kind of jostling for attention, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So,
You only watch club rugby for test rugby.
I don't.
Really?
How dare you? How dare you? You do.
Test. Yeah, I do, for
sure. I mean, a lot of people do, but we'd call you a fair-weather fan, you see.
No. It's all about test rugby. It's the pinnacle of... It's the best part of rugby. It's what makes...
It's like starting with... It's like having dessert all the time, though, you know? Don't want it all the time.
No, but you watch club rugby to watch your favorite internationals play, and you watch it to see who's, like, who's the next, you know, up-and-comer for the international team. I think test rugby, like, separates... rugby from the other sports.
No, I don't agree. I think the Gallagher Premiership has shown us one thing this year.
And that's what?
That club rugby can be amazing and competitive every single game.
It's good rugby. It's exciting rugby, but it's nowhere near as exciting as international rugby.
I think because you don't come from a place where your town has a very big club. I'm not trying to be mean now. I was being mean earlier. Now I'm trying to say, like, it's a different kettle of fish if you're from a place where rugby is a big sport, you know?
Like,
if you could go to
a,
you know, if like you grow up with that, club rugby is more important.
That's a fair point.
But, you know, not trying to take the piss out of, you know, I appreciate every Canadian that likes rugby. I do.
You think there's a guy out there that prefers club rugby over test rugby?
Oh, in Canada?
No.
Oh, in the world, yeah, millions of them.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like, I can't care for the World Cup.
No, I don't think they don't care about it. I think they love that. I think that they enjoy the club game as much, or if not more, than internationals.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I think that's true. I'm surprised you don't think that's true, actually.
I bet there's someone out there.
Mm. Yeah, it's like if you know, in North America where you've got like these diehard fans at the games. It's like that, isn't it?
But in North America, like those leagues have killed any hope of international games.
Yeah, and I think maybe you love the international game because you appreciate it because you don't get it here, do you?
Like the NHL has the hockey players on lockdown.
It's really sad that Connor McDavid, the NHL player, will never play for Canada and he's like a once in a generation talent. It's like if DuPont couldn't play for France.
Yeah.
It's mental.
Mm-hmm.
It's mental to me.
Yeah.
It's tragic.
Like every summer after the NHL ends, there should be like a test series between, you know, United States and Canada, like a best of seven series, something, right?
Yeah.
Where the best of the best play.
Yeah.
You don't get that.
No, because the owners are just greedy fuckers, aren't they? Who don't want to risk their players.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that won't happen in rugby. Don't worry. You're safe.
That's what I'm worried about.
It won't happen. I promise you.
That always scares me.
Yeah. I mean, it could veer towards that. It won't happen though.
Like if the MLR somehow just became like a premier league and had all the money and then they took all the players and they just wouldn't let anyone go.
Yeah.
Like, well, I guess France kind of does that.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah.
You picking that up?
Yeah.
Sorry, dog.
Come here, you fuckhead. Rocky.
All right, third time's a charm here. We're recording again.
Yes. Yeah, Pacific Nations Cup.
Well.
America, Canada, Tonga, Fiji, Japan, Samoa. Are you excited?
No.
I hope I didn't miss anyone.
I'm not that excited about
really?
It.
Really? Why not? Okay, I'm not excited about it, but I think this is exactly what North American rugby needs.
Yeah.
Regular.
Hopefully people watch.
They will. I'd watch that.
I'm going to watch every game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they just need that regularly scheduled games, not just like random summer tests against the team that kind of pities them. Like Scotland are in town. Do you want to play us, lads? Like, no, this is scheduled rugby.
I can see Canada being in that. I can see Argentina being in that. I can see USA being in that. But what the fuck is Tonga doing in there? And
Tonga would beat Canada.
Japan doing in there?
It's the Pacific. Like,
they should be playing in the rugby championship.
Yeah, but they don't want anyone else. New Zealand just want to play on their own.
Like, it's dumb. Like, what are those two teams doing? Like, I want to see, you know, Canada play those teams.
Yeah.
But why?
Argentina are in the rugby championship through blood, sweat, and tears, right?
Yeah.
That's what it took to earn their place there.
Yeah, we're not going to see a top Argentina side anyways. They're going to play some, like,
I don't think Argentina are in this, in the one I'm talking about.
Are you sure they're not?
No, because they're in the rugby championship, aren't they? I'm going to have to Google this now, aren't I?
Yeah, you're going to have to Google this.
Shit.
Because I thought they...
This is why we didn't write it on the things...
Yeah, you just brought it up.
Told you, mate. I'm on a lot of meds.
Without looking into it.
I've got Thomas the Tank written on my notes. That's what we're talking about next.
Yeah, I thought they were in it.
I don't think so.
I thought it was Canada, USA, Argentina, Tonga, and Japan.
Samoa as
keep,
well.
Keep Googling
you,
it.
You talk about the next thing. Put a pin in that. We'll come back to it.
You didn't even bring up... Don't you have like a bunch of tabs open on your computer there?
Yeah, but I opened the wrong internet browser. It's a disaster.
Anyways.
Yeah.
If it should be a championship, it should be like a North and South America championship.
Oh, and get rid of the faraway people.
Yeah.
Because Brazil and Chile... Or Chile, actually, more importantly than Brazil, are kind of up and coming, right? Uruguay as well.
Yeah.
I don't know why I even mentioned Brazil.
Yeah, because they should be like Brazil, Mexico,
yeah,
Chile, Argentina, Uruguay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they're not even in that?
No. Because it's the Pacific nation.
It's
well,
dumb.
Chile's Pacific, I guess. It is kind of dumb now I think about it.
It's kind of dumb.
All right. Well, you shot down
it doesn't
that.
Make sense. Kind of just.
I've just written Pacific nations into Google. And Googled it, and now I have a list of countries that are in the Pacific. So that's how mentally competent I am right now. But I've got it right here.
And?
Samoa, Tonga, Fiji, Japan, Canada, USA.
See, the countries that should be in the championship playing against Canada and USA.
And you don't even want to get people started about Georgia not being in the Six Nations. So this is probably...
Yeah, it just... I don't know. I don't like that.
I think it's good, though.
I think we should be playing the South American teams more.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah.
Like, we,
especially
you mean,
Argentina. Like, why aren't we playing Argentina more?
Like, who do you mean we?
And
like,
it makes sense time zone-wise. Like, these two...
Oh, Canada.
Yeah, for Canada.
Right.
God damn it, Frank. You're fucked up today.
You think you're Irish all the time, though. I can't blame me for thinking you... Like, that's the first time you've used Canada in a rugby sense and gone we. So,
yeah,
you know,
It's like, the time zones are so completely different, too.
Yeah.
Like, they're just so far apart. It makes no fucking sense. It's just, it doesn't make any sense. I'm not a fan of it.
I was excited for regular fixtures for the USA and particularly Canada because they need them. Now you've mentioned that, though, it does make more sense that they regularly play other developing nations in their own time zones.
Yeah, 100%. So, I think Argentina is only like a couple hours like from where we live, like ahead of us or behind us. Like it's you're talking a matter of like 2 to 3 hours for all these nations.
Yeah.
Right. And then like I think when like if we played in Japan or Japan plays here, there's like an 8-9 hour difference.
As someone who's lived in Japan, it's about as far away from any other rugby thing as it's possible to be. Even Australia is not close. You know, I know it's a similar time zone.
Yeah.
But like anytime you play anything to do with Japan internationally, like it's a fucking ball ache logistically. So, I don't know what they're doing in there. Well, they're a Pacific nation is the reason.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just they could have came up with something better.
Mm.
And
I should have done some more research.
Yeah.
Which brings us to the next and exciting bit of news.
And what's that?
Wasps.
The Wasps
are coming to the URC. Confirmed. No, confirmed. It's not. It's not confirmed at all. It's not confirmed at all.
A Friends of Rugby exclusive.
Yeah, that's right. On the show with us today, we have a Wasp, and he is going to tell us all about it. No, so a guy called, he's the chairman of Coventry Rugby, but I wasn't sure if that meant he's the chairman of Wasps, because Coventry Rugby is like the Coventry Rugby Club, which is, you know, not Wasps Rugby. I don't know if it's the same guy, but on the Coventry Rugby chairman, John Sharp, has speculated that they would be better off in the URC. Slightly paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said. What do you think?
Imagine that.
It was going to blow this thing wide open.
Imagine they join the URC and then their club thrives.
Yeah. And they just beat everyone.
Well, I don't know if they'll beat everyone.
No, they won't beat everyone.
Like, you'd be happy because then you'd have an English team to beat your Welsh clubs.
I could get on a little
and then
train.
You'll feel happy about being in the URC again. You feel at home.
Yeah. Could get on a little train from Western Canada to do a local derby.
Like, that'll make you happy. But
yeah, I like Wasps. When I was young, they used to be kind of my quote-unquote English team I would watch, you know?
When I was choosing like a premiership team to follow, when I started watching the Prem, that they were in my team too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But imagine if they started thriving playing, I think that could start a snowball effect.
Yeah. And other teams go, hey, that looks fun. And it would create a sort of super league and leave the Gallagher Prem in the shit.
Yeah.
This could be bad news.
I think already there should be just a super league anyways.
Yeah.
Like, I think it doesn't like, all those teams just like right there. There's like a whole horde of teams right there.
Yeah.
Like, you might as well just join them all up.
Yeah. Well, I think they want to include that you might be not favoring the Italians then, you know, in the URC sense. You're making it difficult for them logistically and they're going to lose a lot of games.
But they still have to go to Ireland. They still have to go to South Africa. It's farther.
And to be honest, like, you know, bringing the South Africans in, as far as I was concerned, was always controversial for that same reason, right? You're opening the door to say, geographically, we don't care. We're just interested in money and competition. And competition I can get on board with. And money, I understand. But you are losing a sense of locality and rivalry and derbies, right? Which is what I always complain about, isn't it?
If you had a super league?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Well, okay, so if you had a Super League and it was like just the British Isles, like Ireland and the UK, I would get that a lot. I would be really behind that. I would love that, actually.
But what's the difference now that the Italian teams are in the URC? There's no difference.
Well, because they're in the middle of Europe. It's a long way to travel, right? You can't have a local derby with an Italian, you know?
Yeah, but they still are in the URC.
I've got no problem with them being there. But then,
if it was a Super League, if you just add the English teams, now a whole dynamic happens?
Well, because then you're adding 10 whole teams to an already complicated league, right?
So, there's 32 teams in the NHL. I think there's 32 teams in the NFL.
There's a lot more money in those leagues, though. A lot more money.
Cardiff's, but they still work. They're just as exciting when a Vancouver team plays Miami.
Here's the problem with that, though. Because they're all owned by wealthy billionaires, right? Every single team is owned by a wealthy billionaire, right? If one team doesn't do well in that locality, it's easy to just go, okay, we don't belong to that town anymore. We go to another town. That's such a North American danger of this kind of attitude is all of a sudden an owner could go, well, we're shit in Cardiff, let's move to another city. And then you remove any sense of connection the fans have to the team, which is already a huge problem in Welsh rugby anyway.
That's so probably happened like once or twice.
But it happens, is my point. That wouldn't happen in the USA. You can't move Leinster to Donegal, right? That just, they're called Leinster. They're from Leinster. You don't change that, right?
Yeah.
That would be my worry. And I know, ironically enough, Wasps have done that already. Wasps were in London and in Coventry.
Didn't they have like a stadium problem or something like that?
But they still moved, right?
Yeah.
Like if you name your team after an animal and not the place it's from, you run into problems, right? Of fan connection.
I don't know. I think having all the teams in one league would be fine.
Yeah, you would say that though.
Like it wouldn't dilute it because you'd still have your precious derbies.
Not if Cardiff moved to Norwich.
Yeah, you but know, that's like, not going to happen.
It happened already with Wasps, who are now Wasp. They're like a Wasp at a picnic. Like, oh, which team, which fucking league can I jump into now?
I think there's some kind of like moving cancer that's going to start growing.
Maybe. That's a bit harsh. Maybe. They're going to land in the USC, put their stingers in.
You just want the British Isles to be left alone.
I really don't. I'm actually quite happy we play Italians, but yeah. I think it would make sense if you had teams who are closer together geographically play each other regularly. That's all I'm saying. I like watching the Italian. I'm enjoying the rise of Benetton.
What's a flight from Cardiff to Rome?
Like price?
No, like hours.
Is it like 3 or 4?
Yeah.
About 3 or 4 hour flight. Yeah, but to a Canadian, that's not a big deal.
Yeah, Vancouver to Toronto is like 6.
Yeah, but like you've got to, you don't have to go through customs to go to Vancouver. Like you've got to get there. It's an international flight, right? Yeah. You got to check in 3 hours early.
They get through.
Yeah, the players do. Yeah. I'm not worried about them. They're fine. They're rich. It's me I'm worried about in my local.
It's not that hard to get through customs and stuff.
It's not, but it's just hours of your time, isn't it? It's not like I can jump on a train with my mates, have a few cans on the train. Like, I've got to pack a suitcase and get there at 5 a.m. 3 hours early. That kind of deal, you know?
To watch an Italian game?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're not going to every game.
I've never been to a game in Italy, but that's also kind of the point, isn't it?
Yeah. You know? You can still do it.
But it's just a lot easier to do it if it was against a Wasp in Coventry, you know?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to make a big deal out of this.
I don't know.
You've soured me on the idea now. Fuck Wasps.
It sounds,
you can stay well clear of us.
Yeah, but I would just wait. Yeah, if the Wasps are successful, like, I know this is probably never going to happen anyways.
No.
But I just like how that guy mentioned that and just like how it's in the internet space now.
Well, we're blowing it up right now. We are responsible for creating drama, aren't we?
Yeah.
By going on about it.
No, I'd love to see that happen. I would personally love to see that.
I think, you know, as the little chaotic monkey in my brain really wants to see what would happen and what kind of situation it would create, 100%.
But in reality, I think this should all just be one league.
Yeah.
And then that'd fix the whole problem.
All the rugby of all the countries in one big league.
No, not that, but...
Where do you draw the line, though?
I think all...
Because it's not in South Africa, is it? Like, apparently.
All the teams that are playing in Europe right now and South Africa, they're all in a time. They're all in a very watchable time zone.
Right.
See, I'm thinking of this like as a North American, right? Because all the teams are far apart.
Yeah.
You're not taking a Sunday drive to go watch a game.
Yeah.
In another city.
Yeah.
No one's doing that because everything's like hours apart.
Yeah. Yeah. You would never do that.
But I'm talking about viewership, like watching stuff time zone wise.
Yeah.
Is accessible.
Yeah.
Right, and the majority of sports fans enjoy watching sports more, watching it on TV.
I'll be honest; these days, I prefer to watch it on my TV with friends and or that's in a bar. Like I do.
Yeah, because that's like a thing that's like known. Mm. Like the majority of sports fans prefer to watch sports at home on TV. So yeah, what else do you want to get into? You want to look at some rugby games?
Yeah, let's do URC for the weekend.
You want to go over the URC?
Because I watched two games.
Did you?
Mm, which is about as much as I could into my busy schedule.
What did you look at here?
I watched Ospreys Edinburgh.
Well, that was a bad one for you to watch.
I don't support either of them.
No?
So, no.
Why would you even watch them?
Well, because I like watching the Welsh teams. I don't really care if Ospreys... It'd be nice if a Welsh team made the playoffs... And I think they've just blown it with that loss to Edinburgh, actually. Mm-hmm. And a winnable game. So I think if I was an Ospreys fan, I'd be a bit like, that was our chance, you know?
Yeah.
And now Edinburgh looked good, though. That was a bit of... No, actually, I take that back. Both teams looked like they were struggling just to get flow in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of see that by the score.
Yeah.
So I think both teams aren't going to compete. Neither team has really a realistic hope of winning the URC. It would be nice for a Welsh team to get into the knockouts. I think Cardiff, Ospreys were the last team who had a realistic chance of doing that. I think they've blown it. That's why I was watching it, but not heavily invested in them, other than that they're a Welsh team, you know?
I feel like when it comes to knockout stages, it's like anyone's game, almost.
I was surprised by how frequently Leinster, I felt, should have won it and haven't. Even last year, I was a bit surprised Munster beat them. Munster are a good team, obviously, but I think you're right. Like, I'm happy that it's unpredictable in those knockout games, actually.
Yeah, when it gets to knockout stages, I've seen a lot of games in rugby where one team is expected to win and the other team, or the game's a lot closer
than it should have been.
Yeah, like that the team that was like that was expected to win still wins, but they had to work for
it. Yeah. That's a good point. And I'm glad that's still the case, because I'm worried that rugby is becoming one-sided in the World Cup was quite one-sided in the group stages, right? Mm-hmm. And I've talked about that already. And I think the URC looks one-sided at times because of financial differences and things like that.
It's two-sided.
Mm.
South Africa and Ireland.
I knew you had something brewing there.
Sorry, couldn't let you have that.
That's fine.
I know you want to come after Ireland.
I didn't say Ireland.
What's like, I remember you South Africa's
that.
In
you
there.
You said that, not me. They're your words. But no, it's a financial difference though, right? Mm. Do you know what I mean? There has to be.
Yeah.
For those results to be as predictable as they are. And don't get me wrong, like the other team, like the Welsh teams, the Italian teams, we need to step up, not the other way around, right? Like the teams who are performing well, it's not their responsibility to be like, let's play a bit shit and give them a hand. No, I don't think that at all. But you can't deny that there's a massive discrepancy in finances there, which obviously is going to make some results one-sided. So I'm back to your point though, like I'm happy to see that the knockout stages are still competitive, you know?
Yeah, because right now I really like there's two teams like maybe that I'm looking at that could be like Leinster and the Bulls.
Leinster and the Bulls
are the favorites.
Yeah.
But it's still open. And Leinster have had some bad luck in the knockout stages in the last few years.
Yeah.
And like every competition they've been in.
Yeah, they have. They have. I think weirdly now that you've kind of taken Johnny Sexton out of the mix and you've got such depth of quality in 10 at Leinster, it makes the problem a bit easier now, because it's not like you're saving Sexton for the important games. You just have a couple of good quality 10s who you know can perform in high level games.
Yeah.
So now that it's kind of like taking the cork out a bit, right? Like all of a sudden now you've got all this quality just flowing through. You know, and the other game I watched was Cardiff Leinster. Really proud of Cardiff. Like they were in that game until 60 minutes. They were winning it. And then Leinster emptied the bench and they were just, the power games showed, right? And the end and the fitness showed.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's teams who can go a full 80 minutes in there. Bulls, Leinster, Munster. I think, and the other result I wanted to talk about was Stormers losing to the Bulls this weekend as well. That was a big game for me, because if you're going to pick a South African team who are going to potentially be in contention, it's Bulls or Stormers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Bulls beating Stormers relatively easily.
Yeah, 40-22.
Yeah, that's a pretty good scoreline for them. It's not a hammering, but it's a convincing win. So I think I would say Leinster Bulls in the final still, you know? And I think that would be a close game.
Yeah, Leinster, Stormers, Munster, Leinster, you know, all those teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe even Scarlets.
They are shit this year, aren't they?
I didn't watch any URC this weekend.
Oh, why the fuck am I talking either?
Because I was too busy watching Super Rugby.
Tell me about that then.
Man, these games this weekend were on fire.
Speaking about being competitive,
I was surprised by some results.
Waratahs beating the Crusaders.
That was I watched that game, and through the whole game I just was expecting the Crusaders to make a comeback.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, here it comes.
Yeah.
And then there was just an answer from the Tods.
Yeah.
And
then
I was like, they would Crusaders would do something, go, oh, here it is, here's the fold, right? I had zero hope through the 80 minutes.
That they were going to sustain that.
And they did.
They looked surprised they'd won at the end. They were like, did we kind of hammer the Crusaders?
Did we do this? And that was because I was going to, like, this weekend was definitive for me for Super Rugby, because if all the New Zealand teams just bashed the Aussie teams.
It's not worth watching.
It's
all
not
of a sudden,
worth watching.
It really isn't, is it?
It's
from
not
our
worth
point
watching
of view.
Out,
no.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's just going to be like, they might as well just kick them out and then the New Zealand teams just play each other.
100% agree.
Right?
Yeah.
So it wasn't worth watching. But the results, even with the Reds and the Hurricanes.
They took them close, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
That was a good game.
It was.
I was like, okay, so we got some competition here because that's what we really need.
And Australia's in a rough place, isn't it? So it's really good for them to get some wins. Weirdly, the Rebels beat the Western Force as well. And you got to be thinking, if you're a Western Force fan, Rebels are about to fold and you get beaten by them. Like, that's a bit of a kick in the teeth.
Yeah, that is a big kick in the teeth.
So I feel bad for those guys. But
No, but the games are fun.
Yeah.
They're fast.
Yeah.
They were tight. Fuck, there's a lot of scoring.
They're high scoring, aren't they?
Yeah.
And I was watching some of it. It's not that the defense is terrible. Like, we always take the piss and say, like, they just don't bother defending. They're just the speed of some of the players, right? The athleticism, the way they're trained. Like, the forwards train. It looks like they train like backs, right? Like
I don't know. I would say it's defense. I wouldn't say the defense is shit. It's their style of defense that a lot of the teams play.
It doesn't look as organized or as flat at times.
They don't do rush defense in the Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah, it's a lot of drifting, isn't it?
It's like a drifting soak defense.
Yeah.
Like, they're just all preparing to like receive someone with the ball.
It's so they can save energy in the chaos to run in mad tries.
Maybe it's such a cardio heavy game that they play.
I was taking the piss, but that might be true as well. Oh. You know? No, I think it might be some truth to it though. You know, like, if you're doing blitz defense nonstop, it's fucking exhausting, isn't it? So
yeah, but if they had some kind of rush defense to their system, these scores would be a lot lower.
Yeah,
and these teams are because there's this try after try after try, and I guess that's really exciting.
It is, and you know, you made a good point there. I think it's like. And I think it's worth repeating. If I watched this weekend and it was all New Zealand hammerings against other teams, I would immediately be uninterested. And I, you know, if you're from New Zealand, great, because you've got your little rivalries. But like, if you're anyone else, why would you give a shit? So it's good for the game globally as well as Super Rugby and everyone else.
100%. Like, yeah, because as I'm not Australian.
Yeah.
I'm not a Kiwi.
Yeah. No.
You know, and watching seeing that just the Kiwi teams win.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to watch it. I don't really want to know who's going to win it.
No, I don't care. And it was even worse than that, because it was Crusaders dominating for so long that it was like, even if you're a Kiwi, I imagine you're pretty bored of that happening, right? If you're not a Crusaders fan.
I think this is like the first time in a long time that the Crusaders lost two in a row.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, for years. And you know, we always...
They're missing Razor.
I was just going to say, so there was that old kind of discussion in the NFLs when it was Bill Belichick and what's the other guy, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And it was like, who's really holding the shit together? Mm-hmm. And I'm really happy in rugby that one player does not change the game, but a manager can. So Scott Robertson leaving Crusaders obviously has had an impact on him, right?
Yeah.
But Johnny Sexton leaving Ireland didn't have that much of an impact. So it's gratifying to know that our game truly is a team game, right?
So Richie Wawonga playing in Japan was really the
shit. Why'd you have to make such a good point?
Really is the
yeah, he's the key.
The key.
Yeah, but to be fair, Crusaders have lost a lot of retired. There are a lot of All Blacks retired, right? So
that Moana Pacifica and Fijian Drua game,
that was
lightning.
That was mental.
Yeah,
that was. I watched the highlights.
Moana Pacifica mental. They had to hold on to that game though.
Yeah,
they almost lost it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but that was a game to watch. That was probably one of the most exciting games of rugby I've seen in a while.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you know why? Welsh coach.
Oh, really?
Stephen Jones, yeah.
Oh, look at that. Yeah,
that's why.
Yeah, but now that kind of pumped me up. That kind of pumped me to watch some more Super Rugby.
Me too. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. I'm actually excited to watch it for a
change. And I'm not even an Australian. I don't care for any of the Australian teams. Like, if I'm a Super Rugby fan, I'm a Highlander fan.
And me too, but I just want us. We need Australian rugby to be doing something, though, don't we? We need them to be good for the good of the game. I couldn't. Not no disrespect to them. I just don't care about it. You know, like,
and the Highlanders lost to the fucking Blues.
And
fucking
you've got the West 10 in the world from Wales playing the mighty Highlanders. Yeah.
Oh, the commentary on that game got some heat on the internet.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they were saying some bullshit about Patchell. Like he made some like really. Did you see that offload he made?
Yeah.
The whole world.
Yeah. Keep talking, but yeah, he did.
And
they're
like
yeah.
The commentators were like mentioning like, oh, it must have been the first time he's ever done a fucking offload, because they don't do that in Northern Hemisphere.
Cheeky bastards.
Yeah, that's not exactly what he said, but it's pretty much
that
what
was
he was
alluded
saying.
To.
Yeah, and I was like, what the fuck? Like they like. What the hell is wrong with you guys?
Vintage Scarlets 2017. Rhys Patchell was offloading anything he touched, man. Like,
man, your best winger is playing in England. Your best...
No, our best winger's in the NFL.
Yeah.
That's even worse.
Your best winger's in the NFL. Your other best winger is playing for England.
Yeah.
Your best 10 is playing in New Zealand.
Literally the other side of the world.
Yeah, like, what the fuck, Wales? Yeah.
I know. Yeah. I know. It's silly, isn't it?
But, I'm excited for next week's games too.
Are we going to start talking about Super Rugby on this?
Fuck, we might. These we games might.
There's a danger of it, isn't there?
They're kind of dangerous. Like next week, what do we got here? We got like Moana Pacifica plays the Rebels.
Oh, tasty.
That could be good.
Tasty
be good
fixture. Too. Rebels are about to fold.
The Taz, they play the Highlanders.
Are we calling the Taz as well?
The Taz.
We're getting into it.
Yeah,
I like it.
Night, yeah.
All right, cool.
Fijian Drua versus the Crusaders. That's gonna be a good
game.
That'll
be a juicy game.
Imagine, oh man, if Fijian Drua can win.
Oh my god,
that'd be fucking sick. Yeah. The Brumbies versus the Force. Eh. Hurricanes versus the Blues.
Yeah, I don't know, but yeah. I'm trying to get excited with you for this. This sounds fun now.
Yeah,
sounds fun.
The Reds versus the Chiefs. The Chiefs are looking super good. Damian McKenzie.
Yeah.
It's just a rock star.
What position is he playing in now?
He's playing 10.
Yeah, he is, eh?
Yeah. Or what do they say in New Zealand?
Not fly half. Oh, it's first 5'8".
It's like first 5'9".
Or is it second 5'8"?
I don't know what the fuck.
Third 5'8"?
I hate it so much.
Fourth 5'8"?
Like, why do you have to be different?
Fifth,
that's
five,
probably
eight?
What it was originally called, and they just kept it that way.
Yeah.
But
rugby's got some weird terminology.
It's so confusing because they'll use that all the time, and I just have to like shake my head, like, oh, yeah, not knowing what the fuck. Like,
what is a 5'8"?
I don't know. I actually read into it once.
Me too. I looked it up and I forgot.
And it had an actual, like,
a historical reason, right?
Or in a legit explanation.
I mean, if you think about it, what the fuck does fly half mean, though? You know, a hooker, I understand they hook the ball. Is he flying halfway? Like, the fuck is a fly half? Doesn't make any sense, is what I'm saying. A first 5'8", I can understand there's a numerical value based on a position. So I think maybe as much as it's confusing for us, their thing probably makes more sense. You know?
All I know is I'm excited to watch a little bit more Super Rugby.
Yeah, we're ready for it, are we?
Yeah. Except I know that Sir John Kerwin does not want me watching...
John Kerwin.
Yeah, John Kerwin.
No, he wants rugby league.
This guy mentions rugby league.
Yeah.
So much.
Because he's scared of it. That's why. He's projecting. He's scared. We've got to be like, it's like the Borg, you know, assimilate or die.
His job is to be the advocate for rugby union. And he's fucking on TV. league.
He's scared.
It's like, what's your obsession with diet rugby? Like,
yeah.
It's less rugby.
Yeah, but that's what he wants.
Yeah.
He wants less rugby.
Maybe he's like a mole or like some kind of double agent. Like rugby league's paying him. Like, make sure you plug league.
Yeah.
Just plug league. Yeah. Just getting all these paychecks under the table to boost up rugby league. And all of a sudden he comes out as like a rugby league
guy.
Is
that your conspiracy of the week?
That's
I like
my conspiracy
that.
Of the week.
I like that.
John
Kerwin is a league
a,
plant.
Yeah. He's a rugby league plant. He's the mole.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was...
Super Rugby, eh? Excited.
Super Rugby. Is there anything else in the news-ish that you want to bring up?
I'm tempted to mention Steve Hansen mouthing off about the TMO.
Ugh.
But only if you want to, because I can keep that in the chamber of my anger gun if you don't want me to.
I don't know. I don't get the debate about the TMO.
All I want to say is this. I've said this before. The ball is in play for longer than it's ever been in rugby, in international rugby specifically. Why are we going on about stoppages and slowing and the flow of the game? This is as flowy as the game's ever been, and people still have some problem with the game stopping. You want players to play 80 non-stop minutes of rugby? Someone's going to die on the field. Let them have a breather before a scrum, for fuck's sake. That's all I got to say.
It's also the most dynamic sport in the world.
Yeah, you could go from sprinting to suddenly wrestling a guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I can't think of any other sport that's as exciting as rugby.
You do literally everything your body is capable of doing in 80 minutes, right?
Like, what's another team sport that, like, doesn't stop, that, you know, goes on and on like rugby? Soccer.
But they don't wrestle each other.
They don't fucking fight each other.
No. And I'm not saying that's not a brutal contact sport at times. It's 90 minutes.
It's 90 minutes.
And they play more regularly, but you're not tackling people.
90 minutes and the score 0-0.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Oh, you don't need to tell me. I've got no interest in watching football anymore.
Like, is that what you... Like, that's another sport. Like, you know, that game goes on. There's barely any stops.
Yeah.
And when it does stop, it's minimal.
Yeah.
It's minimal. And
it's not a fair comparison, though, is it? Like that's
the
not the same.
The dynamics in rugby, there's so much going on. There's so much action. Like, come on, just appreciate. Steve Hansen, you need to appreciate rugby more. That's what he needs to do. He needs to fall in love with rugby more.
It sounds like
he needs to fall in love with rugby again. That's what he has to do. He has to do the fucking
take it out for dinner, renew his vows.
What's the coach's name from the Mighty Ducks?
I didn't watch that movie.
You've never seen the Mighty Ducks?
I've heard of it.
Okay, well, in every single Mighty Ducks movie, Coach Bombay, that's his name. Okay. He has some kind of personal issue peril. And then you know what he does to get over it?
Well,
he goes alone into the ice rink, puts his skates on, grabs a hockey stick, and he starts skating and moving the puck around with the stick, and then he falls in love with the game.
Yeah.
That's what he needs to do. He needs to grab a ball.
Go down to his local park.
Yeah, go down to his local park at night. It has to be at night where the lights are low. Put on some tunes and just start, running around with the ball, pretending to pass it and stuff. He needs to fall in love with the sport again.
Do you think maybe he could take his red and yellow card and pretend to card people?
Steve Hansen,
enough out of you two.
Yeah, Steve Hansen needs to fall in love with rugby again because...
Yeah, he's a grumpy bugger, isn't he?
Yeah, he's just turning into a rugby boomer.
I feel like that's the same vibe with John Cohen as well. There's a few in the New Zealand media who just seem pissed off all the time.
Love the game more.
Mm. Yeah. No, right. I like it. And I think that's what I'm saying. If Super Rugby is going to be competitive this season, that fixes all your problems. You've got a great product.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's really attractive rugby.
And it's okay to love different styles of rugby.
Except league.
No, I'm not talking about league. I'm talking about different styles of play.
Within rugby.
How Northern Hemisphere has that chess match more.
Yeah.
Attritional rugby.
Rolling around in the mud. Yeah.
That's fine. I love that.
Oh, me too.
And then Super Rugby has that Harlem Globetrotters throwing the ball around, juggling in the middle of the field, and stuff like that. That's awesome too.
And if one was better than the other, New Zealand would win every World Cup. They don't.
No.
So, obviously there are different legitimate styles to play this game, right?
And I think what because I know the Southern Hemisphere, especially just New Zealand fans, they give the Northern Hemisphere a lot of shtick before their attritional play.
Yeah.
But they don't understand that the reason why the Northern Hemisphere plays this way is because of New Zealand.
No, it's because the weather's shit.
No.
It's because the weather's shit.
Their defensive, how they're such a defensive heavy system in the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
They developed that to try to beat the All Blacks.
And it's really rainy.
Because they're never going to be as offensively good.
And it's hard to catch a ball when it's raining.
No.
That's why.
It's not because of the
literally
rain.
Why.
No, it's bullshit. It's because of the All Blacks.
I'm going to have to strongly agree to disagree with you here because it's the weather.
Fucking rains in New Zealand too and they're fucking juggling balls all over the place.
Yeah, but it's not like...
It rains a lot. I live there.
It's not like that. But yeah, it's not...
It rains a lot.
I bet it does. I bet it rains a lot. But it's not Galway where it's just sideways rain.
You live
all
in
day,
Wellington, you basically they're called the Hurricanes for a reason. It's basically living in a fucking wind tunnel. They're throwing around balls and catching them.
Yeah. But they also play a lot more as well. It's their sport, isn't it? You come out the womb and the rugby ball's thrown at your head. If you don't catch it, they throw you in the sea.
Mm-hmm.
Like Spartan babies. If you can't catch your first rugby ball, they dispose of you.
They throw you off a cliff.
Yeah. No, they throw you into the sea.
And they just throw you right into the sea.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's... That's my take on Steve Hansen. Steve Hansen, fall in love with rugby again.
I like that.
Yeah.
I agree.
And they didn't fucking... Northern Hemisphere style is not based on the rain.
We play in the winter as well. It's a winter sport.
So does fucking New Zealand.
Do they?
It gets cold there too.
No. It's tropical paradise.
I was fucking freezing in Dunedin. It's fucking cold.
I've seen the Maoris. They were wearing not a lot of clothes. It looks boiling. Looks lovely weather.
They're living in the North Island or something like that. Those are the ones you see. The other ones are they're bundled up. Okay. It's cold there too.
All right. Fair enough.
I fucking know.
All right. Well, I know Northern Hemisphere rugby because that's where I'm from. So, it's rainy.
Should we talk about some Northern Hemisphere rugby?
Yes. We're predicting.
Let's do some predicting.
All right.
In this hellish podcast that we're trying to get through today.
It's the meds. I'm
sorry.
I got
you all fucked up on meds. Yeah. Got the dog going all fucking crazy. Got the computers. The computers are fucking...
Yeah, computer's not happy either, is it?
No, it's fucking doing
shit. I feel bad. You came here in your, fit t-shirt and your new haircut, ready to rock, and I've just got this wild dog and I'm dying.
Yeah. What the fuck? Anyways, let's go over the first game here.
Okay.
Italy versus Scotland.
In the Stadio Olimpico.
Yes.
Yeah.
How do you think this game's going to go?
I think Scotland are going to win. It's my prediction.
You think so?
Here's how it's going to go, though. I think Scotland are going to build up a little bit of an early lead. They've come out the blocks firing in most of their games.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, all their games. No, maybe not against England. Point is, they start well, I think. They know, because they've got a good strong backline who can punch holes pretty quickly. So I think they'll get a couple scores, and I think Italy will fight back a bit, much to everyone's surprise. I think they'll maybe get a try or two, and I just think they won't have enough gas to stay in the fight. And I think Scotland have just got such weapons. Like, soon as Doohan gets the ball and a few people are tired, he's getting a hat trick or something. So Scotland will win, but I think Italy will make a good account of themselves.
Yeah, I think this is going to be one of those first half games for Italy.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to have a good first half.
Yeah.
But Scotland's offense is just...
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, their attack is great. And this is not a good team for Italy to play against.
No. Which is why I'm worried about playing them in the last round.
They've been really good with when they played England and France because they're like, their attack is kind of messy right now. It's not really flowing right. So... Italy were able to take advantage of that.
And Italy can withstand physicality now for a good amount of time, right? They didn't used to be able to do that. They can hold off against a good blitz defense.
They can defend
reasonably well.
I also think that Scotland might leak a few tries too.
I do.
I think Italy are going to put some points on the board in this one too.
Me too, 100%. Yeah, I can see them scoring a couple of tries.
Their tackle is great. They have a problem finishing.
Yeah.
And once they get really going, they have a tendency to fuck up too.
Yeah.
But they are going to put some stuff on the board. Oh, you know what? You know, I'm kind of convinced myself. Maybe this is going to be a high-scoring, close game.
I think it's going to be... I don't think it's ever going to be a hammering. I think Italy are going to be in the game for at least 60 minutes.
Yeah, Scotland also don't care because they already won their game of the Six Nations.
No.
So they're going to go back. they're going to go back to...
There's a danger of Scotland imploding now because they're like, they put all their emotional energy into their obligatory England beating.
Looks like they already played the final.
Gatlin's going to predict this. But, you know, I think I'm excited. This is an Italy game I want to watch, which I don't say often. And it's not because Scotland aren't as good as other teams in this tournament, i.e. Ireland. I just think there's enough attack in Italy and there's enough style in Scotland for this to be an exciting game.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah, let's watch it.
And then let's watch... Doohan score some more tries.
He's
a
fucking weapon, isn't he?
And then watch the English pundits like cry about him.
Yeah. The eligibility rules are totally... He's like, shut up.
You know what? That's come up a lot recently. A lot of things. A lot of things I've been watching and reading.
Yeah.
Is eligibility and...
All of a sudden, eh?
Yeah. All of a sudden. I wonder how that happened.
Give us fucking... What's he called? Faye Wabosso back then, you fucks. Like.
Yeah. There's also like a lot of debate, like people talking about if Doohan would make the Springboks.
I think, did we talk about that or am I just fucked in the head?
I think we touched on it last week a little bit.
I think I said because you got someone like Colby and Kirtley Andresse, like, who are well-established, incredible players. We know Doohan's amazing, but it's like, there's just... no room for him, right?
Well, people are like, would he make the Springboks? People are like, no, never. He's not good enough. And then people are like,
he's good enough.
I 100% agree that he's good enough too.
It's just a different style,
isn't
it?
Would he actually make the Springboks? I don't know. Maybe. I think it depends on what the coaches want.
That's
and
right.
And the system that they're playing.
That's right. It's not a talent or skill issue, is it? It's a style of play issue.
Yeah, if he was going to fit the system that they wanted to play, 100% he'd be a Springbok.
Yeah, and he's not one of those players like, I hate to throw Nick Tompkins under the bus, but I'm going to use Nick Tompkins as an example. He always plays like a wild lunatic, even when he's supposed to be playing with a bit more form. Mm-hmm. And Doohan can play to the structures of the game. He just happens to be amazing in open play. Right, I've not seen a game where he does something stupid like running it from his own 22 when it's not on. Right, he's not a stupid player, but he knows what he's capable of and he can score from anywhere. So he could fit in with any coach's system, as far as I could see.
There's some players that are in Six Nations teams that are playing that are from other countries. I don't think would make their own national side. Like, I don't think Bundiaki would be an All Black.
Mm.
I don't think he fits. His style of play doesn't fit with the All Black style.
It's hard to say because it's almost like Bundiaki's getting better as he's getting older.
He's good.
Which is something you don't always say about centers.
He's a good player. He's a great player.
Yeah, he wasn't always as good as he is now, though.
I just think what the All Blacks want in a center...
Yeah.
Like,
it's someone more like Ioane, right?
Yeah, because Aki's really great defensively.
Yeah.
Attack wise, he's great too. He's good,
but in a different way, though, right? Because he's not. He's, he can crash and offload, but he's not necessarily picking the ball up in open play and find like jumping through a hole, right? Like,
yeah, even yeah. his offload game is not as great as like
someone, Sonny Bill or something.
Yeah, something that they would want.
Yeah,
right. So I don't think he would make an All Black. Now James Lowe, on the other hand, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, no way.
Mm.
But like he does a lot. And I 100% believe like if he was to grow like he's grown in Ireland in Super Rugby, he would probably have an All Black cap.
I think it's difficult to say because the way Ireland play has allowed him to flourish in that way. If he'd have stayed in New Zealand, I don't think he would have become that player because New Zealand don't play like Ireland play. So it's a really hard. It's such a wild hypothetical for me that it's impossible for me to say. I think he would have been a bit anonymous in New Zealand had he stayed there because he's not as fast as some of the wingers they've got. But what he does is not what New Zealand are always looking for. He can turn up at the breakdown and win a breakdown. He's got a hell of a boot for a winger.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think New Zealand wingers necessarily always need those skill sets.
You know? They don't. So yeah, actually,
and he's obviously developed that in Ireland as well.
He has the tools to be an All Black.
Yeah, he does.
But like James Gibson Park.
Yeah.
I don't think he'd be an All Black.
No, and he's another one. He's gotten better with time in Ireland.
Yeah, he's gotten better, but like you got the fuck.
Mac Hansen. Well, let's face it, Australia haven't exactly got like wingers for days that were, you know, they're just not as good internationally for us to say anything, are they?
So. Finley Beelam, who'd definitely be in there.
Yeah.
He'd be a Wallaby too.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, if he was stable.
But that's more a comment on Australia than them, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it is. They're like, we need them.
Yeah, we just fucking need good players. Yeah, you've trained them up. Let's have them. Anyway, I don't want to get down the road of like, you know, I feel like if you've done your time in a country, you deserve to play for them, you know?
I don't really care too. It doesn't bother me.
No, it doesn't bother me. No.
No. But anyways, I'm going to say Scotland.
Okay.
Back to Scotland.
Yeah, me too.
Scotland by 10 points.
Me too. I was going to say a penalty and a try. So yeah. But yeah, two scores, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. England and Ireland.
Oh, I can't wait for this game.
In HQ in Twickers.
I think the world thinks that Ireland are going to fucking stomp England.
Oh, do they? Okay. Yeah. No, I think they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's true.
So the thing about England, you can't bully England.
They invented bullying.
They invented bullying.
Yeah.
And they rarely ever get, like, you can't really
out-muscle.
Can't really out-muscle them either.
Yeah.
They don't really ever get out-muscled. What you can do is mentally destroy them.
You can.
Yes. They're a mentally weak team. That's what they are.
They have been for a while.
Physically strong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can't bully them.
They lack a plan B is what you're saying, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they've historically lacked a plan B.
Once you throw them off their game plan...
Yeah. They keep trying to do the same thing with no effect.
Yeah, they can't change.
Yeah.
They don't adapt very well.
Not a lot of on-field leadership right now.
No.
I can see, you know, maybe someone could say that I'm wrong because they have established players in that team, right?
Yes. I think they're holding on to some players there's some players that they've been holding on to.
I've read that a little bit this week that, you know, there's players who are still playing well, Danny Kerr, Marler, Dan Coles, who are all over 30, but it's like, and it's not that they're playing badly, it's because the coach hasn't just tried someone else. There's no room for a new, fresh talent to come through, right?
There's just nothing good coming out of England right now in the news.
You know, I remember us talking about the Six Nations at the start. You were bigging them up, and I was saying I would be excited if I was an England fan. And to be honest, they've had some bad luck, like losing Alex Mitchell and Marcus Smith, mm-hmm. who are kind of X factor.
Well, Marcus Smith is eligible to be picked in this game.
But it's like he's not going to... You don't expect someone who's been injured for a little while to run onto the field. He needed momentum in this tournament.
Well, I don't
think
he's going to run on as a 10.
You don't think he's going to play? You might be right. He might not play. You know, just
because
available.
I don't think he's going to run on as a 10. I think he's going to be playing fullback.
Oh, that would suck. That would be dumb.
Yeah.
Because I just don't think Borthwick is that kind of coach to throw someone back into...
I think he is. I think he is going to put Marcus Smith at fullback.
Because
I was talking about like his experiment. He loves George Ford.
He loves... That's what I'm saying is I think he's sticking with George Ford. Yeah.
He loves safe George Ford.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to put Marcus Smith at fullback.
And I think the way England will beat Ireland, the thing that people are talking about is what are England trying to do? The thing I think they're trying to do is what South Africa did. You kick to the places you want and you apply pressure at those points.
Yeah.
And you force penalties in the areas of the field that you want penalties, right? And I think that's actually how you beat Ireland. Now, Hugo Keenan is excellent in the high ball.
He's also not fully fit yet.
No, exactly. So
this is a big opportunity for England.
That's what I'm saying. I think their strategy, if it was going to work against a team, could work against Ireland, who unfortunately are probably the best team in the world right now, right? Mm-hmm. So if anyone's going to employ a strategy that work against Ireland, it's England. I just don't think they're executing it nearly well enough for it to work. Ireland are going to be ready for it as well, right? And Frawley's decent. Like, he's not, you know. So,
like, also, I think this, like, the hyper blitz that they're implementing is going to be, it's going to put Crowley under some pressure.
Yeah.
Like, he's not Finn Russell.
Wait, are you saying you think England going to win?
No.
Okay.
I don't think England will win.
Okay. You're just not convinced they're going to get hammered.
I'm not convinced they're going to get hammered.
Yeah.
I'm also not convinced that they're going to win. The odds are stacked against England heavily in this match.
Yeah, I don't think England's going to win at all.
But I don't think England upset is impossible.
Mm.
But that would take a lot. Like, Ireland has just so many tools. Like what they're able to bring on the field, like their subs.
Yeah.
Like, everything's great.
I think Ireland are aware that this is the last realistic chance to stop a Grand Slam now as well. Because I think, with the greatest respect to Scotland, I don't think they know how to beat Ireland right now, because they just haven't beaten them in so long.
No, I don't
think... So this is Ireland will know that if they win this game, not that they can take their foot off the pedal, but this is their last real test physically before they win a Grand Slam.
Yeah, the problem with England in this matchup is that they have the defense to stay in this game, to make this a game. They do not have the attack.
That's right.
They don't have it. And Ireland's defense is fucking unreal. The guy that that brought blitz rush defense to Union is coaching fucking Ireland.
Mm.
So, like,
yeah,
he's going to be well prepared for this. But it's going to be hard for, I think it's going to be hard for Ireland to get past the try line this one.
Right.
But they're going to have majority of the ball.
Yeah.
They're going to be in the majority of the attack. They're going to be England zone the majority of the time. And then points are just going to start leaking slowly. I'm going to say like Ireland will probably win by like 5.
I'm going to say Ireland by 12.
Ireland by 12.
Yeah. And I think it will be similar to what you've said. Like, I think it'll be a lot of kicking. I just think they're going to get more penalties. I think England's discipline, they'll get frustrated. And it'll just, that scoreboard will just leak penalties.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. There's going to be leaking. Yeah.
I just think it's going to happen more than you think.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah. Not. I don't think it's going to be a lot of tries. I think those 12 points are coming from kicks.
You know, Ireland's discipline hasn't been the greatest either. So if England can get under their skin at all.
But like you said, they haven't got the attacking force to make use of that, though.
Yeah. I'm trying to make a case of like some sort of like maybe upset here, but I really can't even convince myself.
And I haven't seen enough. Like, I honestly think, and this sound will be a bit big-headed, I honestly think Wales had a better chance of beating Ireland than England did, because at least I know what Wales are trying to do. And like, when I look at England, it's like, you're defensively great, but like in attack, like, I can't see what they're trying to do. But I can see what they're trying to do, but they're not. There's no evidence they're executing effectively.
There's even like a lot of chat that they're like a lot of. Rumors from the camp that the players are getting upset because they're not even like putting any emphasis on offense at all.
I read that the wingers aren't even touching the balls in training and stuff. I think it was taken out of context because it was like a defensive session. I don't know what I was reading, but anytime you hear stuff like that, it's never good, is it? It's like, well, something's going on.
Yeah, there's always some, to every rumor, there's always some sort of like,
there's a nugget of truth, isn't there?
Yeah, a nugget of truth there.
No smoke without fire.
Actually,
right?
Fuck it. I'm going to take it as truth. They're not even training attack at all. It's true, 100% true. Yeah. And all the players are completely unhappy with Borthwick.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to take every rumor I see. You know what? I saw it on a Facebook meme.
Yeah.
So it's obviously 100% true.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
I got that from Facebook, so it's 100% true. That's all I'm going to go with.
Okay. Well, conspiracy theory that we've already had one this week. But yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Ireland by 5. I think they're gonna have control of this game.
Mm.
I don't think they're gonna look like they're ever gonna lose, but they're definitely gonna have to fight for this.
Yeah. I think that's one thing we can say about
England's
England.
Not gonna put it up easy.
No, that's one thing I can definitely say about England. They're gonna make them work hard for it with a really good defensive system, right? But that's all I can see.
Just Ireland just goes there and just fucking annihilates.
It's a bit sad about the Six Nations, and it is a credit to Ireland, but it also makes me a bit sad. It's like there's no place which feels like a fortress, right now. Twickenham has always never really felt like particularly intimidating because, you know, they always talk about the atmosphere, they're being there a bit shit. But it doesn't feel like that, you know, these old tropes of like, you come here, you better be on your A game because the home crowd are going to tear you to pieces. Doesn't feel like any team
that
has that.
That song that they sing just destroys them, though.
I know.
Swing low.
I know.
Just, you can see the opposition team's like rugby powers just draining.
Yeah, yeah. Like if I had, it's kind of like if you did the Haka in a ballet outfit, it's a bit like, oh, you're ridiculous. So I'm not gonna, this isn't scary at all.
Yeah, man. If Ireland do go to Twickenham and just fucking destroy England,
yeah,
Borthwick has to be sweating.
I think he feels under pressure already. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I always felt like he was an interim anyway. I felt like when Eddie went, they were like, quick, get a safe pair of hands to put in while we find someone. And because he nearly beat South Africa in the World Cup, they were like, oh, let's keep him a bit longer.
I think he doesn't know his team, it feels like. It feels like he doesn't know who his best players are.
Yeah, I don't want to speculate. Not because I love speculating. Like, I just don't have enough evidence.
His job is to put the best players on the field.
Hmm.
And I feel like he's not doing that. I feel like everyone in the world is like yelling at him to make certain changes. And maybe he feels like he doesn't want to make changes because he wants to, like, you know, continue continuity
to find out if his plan is going to work.
Yeah.
Right?
And I don't know. Like, your job is to figure out your best team. And I feel like he just doesn't know that.
And he doesn't even experiment enough to find out, does he? It's like he's still picking Elliot Daly, who he's fine, but surely there's better. And you're like, yeah, the back line feels. There's Zach Mercer as well, and I'm rambling now, but like there's so many players who I immediately go like, why aren't they playing for England? You know, like, so anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
I like Ben Earl. He's fun.
Ben Earl.
And there was talk about him moving to centre or something.
I think that was...
That was some of that was that guy, wasn't it, who everyone takes the piss out of.
Who's that English? What's his name?
Stuart Barnes, was it?
No, not Stuart Barnes. That's the ref.
Oh, yeah. No, it's Wayne Barnes.
Wayne Barnes.
No, I think it's Stuart Barnes. I think it's also Barnes.
I think it's... No, is it?
I'm pretty sure.
And now I'm confused.
Yeah, we got
Wayne Barnes is a ref.
Wayne Barnes is a ref. Stuart Barnes is a often ridiculed pundit who said that Ben Earl should play 12, and then he doubled down and said,
"Did he?
I think so. I think he did." Yeah. Anyway, whatever.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Has there been any, like, I can't think of any players that have like went from the pack to the backs.
There was one more. It was
I know
the rugby league convert. Northern guy in the World Cup.
Oh, he's on the tip of my tongue. Played for England.
Sam Burgess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or did he do it the other way around? He should have been a flanker the whole time. And he turned up at centre one game. And
yeah, but what do you play in league?
They're just all the same position, isn't it?
It's just one position, isn't it?
Smashy boy, yeah.
So how did he switched from the backs to the pack?
Well, when they brought him into Union, they were like, he's such a talented player. We just have to throw him in and see what happens. When I saw him play, he's so physically thought, but he's quick enough. He's like, he's somewhere between a back and a forward.
Yeah.
He should be a flanker.
Matthew Bastereau.
Matthew Bastereau, yeah.
Yeah. He went from center to eight.
Yeah, for like one game.
I think he played.
And that was just because he got so fat that they couldn't put him at center anymore, I think.
Because I think he played center for, I forget the team plays. And then when he went to the MLR, he stayed...
Oh, he stayed in the back row, did he?
Yeah, he stayed playing at
I
eight.
Think he played Toulon, didn't he? Before he went to...
Yeah, but then he left.
Oh.
And then when he left Toulon, he was... They made him the play in the pack. He was playing at eight. And then we went to MLR. He was still playing at eight.
He was a big boy, though. Whatever he played at center, and even as a prime, I was like, that's a big fucking center.
Yeah. I was like, I was surprised. I thought he was a prop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's fast for a prop, this guy. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Ireland by 12.
Ireland by 12, Ireland by 5. Okay, the game that no one really wants to watch.
How dare you? How dare you insult
Wales
us?
Wales versus France.
This is the game I'm most excited for.
At the Principality.
For no particular reason.
Oh, yeah?
And we could still probably lose this. In fact, we still probably will lose this, but...
I want to know what do you think?
I think the weird thing about this Six Nations is we've just got so much time and patience for this team because they do feel like a graduated high school team, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like because they're showing sprouts every week, it's like, you keep going. We love you anyway. We love you. So, like, I've never had this much patience for this much losses in my life. And I've still got patience. Like, we could lose this game. And as long as there's progress and those youngsters are still working their little hearts out, like Rio Dyer's all over the field, can win it, hasn't dropped a single ball. Like, I've still got time for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited for this game for that reason. Like, France should have the quality to beat us. France have not been showing up, which is strange. There's obviously reasons for it. And we bitched about Galtier last week. Like, there's not a happy French camp. But they've still got incredible talent and depth. Similar to Ireland. Mm-hmm. And it's actually surprising that they're not performing. So I'm going to say Wales because I'm Welsh, you know.
Really?
But only because I'm Welsh. If I was sensible, I'd probably say France, Ooh. But I'm not, you know. So I'm going to say Ooh. Wales by a score, a controversial score. I'm going to say maybe there's going to be a red card by France because they're getting a bit sloppy of like the French team of old.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be another jam slam style win for Wales.
Well, what I'm thinking here is France right now is a wounded animal.
Yeah.
Right. This is if Wales are going to win a game.
Yeah.
In the Six Nations, this is a game that they can win.
And if we end the tournament by beating France and Italy, I'll be a lot happier than if we just beat Italy.
Oh, if you guys beat France on Sunday, Wales are going to act like they won the World Cup.
Andy Powell's going to be caught at 4 a.m. in a buggy by a Burger King. Yeah, it's that feeling all over again, right?
Yeah. This is a match. Yeah. If there's going to be a match to win, this is it. They have been playing better and better and better every game. Mm. You know, France look like shit.
They do.
They're missing a ton of players.
They are, yeah. To be fair to them.
The morale is low.
They are.
This is time for Wales to strike.
We really can't figure out 10, and I really don't want to see Elias throw in a lineup ball, which is why Elliot Deej will start.
Yeah, Wales have to do something about 10. It's like you guys got to stop picking a 10 that looked like it came out.
Who else are you going to pick?
Like your 10.
Who else is there?
Kostel looks like he came out of a Harry Potter book.
He probably did. That's
how Ewan Lloyd. He looks like.
And Ewan Lloyd.
They look like fucking Harry Potter characters.
They do. They look like kids because they're fucking kids.
Yeah.
Right? They look like children because they're actually children.
Fucking. You know? Jack Crowley's kid. Look manly. He looks.
he's pretty
manly, man.
We can't all have gorgeous Southern Irish.
These guys
tens,
look like
right?
they're fucking like out of a Harry Potter.
And even if you didn't have Jack Crowley, you've got four or five
and
other very good
hair.
Tens, right?
What's up with their hair? Like,
have you seen the way Ewan Lloyd puts his socks on? Is all like kind of like hanging off like they're a size too big? You know, that's why we've got love for them though. They're just little boys. But you know the thing, okay, so you're saying why are you picking Kostler? Who else is there though? Genuine question, like who else do you fucking pick? That's it. This is the last line of defense.
It was Tynus De Beer.
Tynus. Do you know what? Fuck. Some fucking Metallica starts playing probably, and he runs out the tunnel. I'd watch that.
Legit, if he was actually playing, it'd probably be a different Six Nations.
He's been good, eh?
He's been fucking
what
good.
What a fucking Python armed legend. Like,
yeah.
Fucking big time for Tynus. Yeah.
Yeah, but what am I going to say this game? I feel like...
In the Principality, I'm gonna wash my mouth out. The Millennium Stadium,
I think this is the time.
Time to believe.
I think it's the time
hype,
to believe.
Hype, 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 hype.
I'm gonna say Wales by
26 points.
By 34. Oh man, yes. That'd be awesome. Yes. They just destroy France.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say Wales by a score like 10. Right.
Yeah. Whoa. Oh, wow. You're more Welsh than I was.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think Wales can win this.
Fuck yeah. Let's go. I'm fucking pumped.
I think Wales might get an early lead.
Yeah.
That might damper the French spirits a lot.
And then France will have a purple patch where we look like we're about to get hammered.
Yeah.
And then Tynus De Beer runs on with a steel chair.
Comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Surprise, motherfuckers, I'm here.
You thought I was South African? You were wrong.
I'm Welsh now.
Fuck like, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to say Wales are going to win this.
Okay.
I believe.
Me too. I genuinely believe now.
Yep.
I've hyped myself up. I've got tingles. Let's fucking go.
Gatlin has gaslit me enough.
Yes.
And he has hypnotized me enough.
Yes.
And I think Wales are going to do...
A job on the French.
They're going to do a job on the French.
In the Millennium Stadium.
And then lose to Italy.
You know what? I'd take it. Whatever. I don't give a fuck. I wouldn't give a fuck at that point. I'd still be hammered drunk from that game. Okay, one thing I will say on a more serious note. If we win that game, imagine the confidence it gives to those youngsters like Dav Jenkins, Costello, win it. All those kids who need a win to believe they can win. That gives it them, right? And they go, okay, fuck, we can do this. And then next year looks a lot different all of a sudden, you know?
But for them to get this win, though, every single one of those motherfuckers has to play 110% for 80 minutes.
But this is the best thing about being Welsh. We always do. We just don't have the depth or the quality or the talent to do it and win.
Well, not when you played Ireland, but, you know. But
no, they played their asses off. Like, I thought they did. I thought they did. We just look a bit clueless in attack. Like, people don't put a Welsh jersey on and not play
110%. Their decision-making, too, has to be better.
But that's a 10 issue, right? That's what I'm worried about. It's the 10. And I think Kostler plays hard. He's a child.
It's time to rise up from the ashes, Wales.
Like the Dragon Phoenix? I don't fucking know. Yeah. Anyway, I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
That's a Sunday morning game as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to come over and watch that.
Fuck yeah.
I'll come over and then we'll pod right after.
We've got a release on Sundays as well.
And then hopefully you are not high as fuck.
I'll be better by then.
You better be better.
Like Wales, my team, I will be better by then.
I'll even wear a Welsh jersey.
Do you have one?
Yeah, I got two.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Because you don't wear the French one. You're not coming in if you wear the French one.
I should wear it, actually.
You're not coming in. Like, I'm not joking. No, not in my house. No. Not when Wales are playing France, no.
Come on.
No, wear the fucking...
It's not an England jersey.
It's not the point.
I'm going to come in an England jersey.
No, not giving me bad vibes on the day of my team's resurrection from the ashes.
I don't even own an English jersey anyways.
No, you better not.
No, I've had opportunities to buy one, and I'm just like, I don't want to be seen.
Like a USA jersey.
It's fine. It's like, that's how it feels like buying a USA jersey.
What's the point? Like, what are you saying about yourself if you're not English and you're in an English jersey? Like, you had a lobotomy at some point in your life? Like, that's what it says to me, you know?
Even though I know, like, that the English team through and through.
Yeah.
I watched the Prem. I watched.
I've got big time for English rugby.
Yeah.
I'm just never, never doing that.
Oh, I love English people. Great.
Yeah, me too.
When I was in England last year, I had a great time.
Exactly. Lovely people. Just not wearing your shirt.
Well, we all managed to scrape by through this podcast.
Hey, yeah. You know should what? We even, you're fucking welcome.
Should we release it?
I hope so. That's like all the energy I had for about a week. We
fucking scrape by this.
Yeah.
Well, everyone, if you have any complaints, you can email us at thefriendsofrugbypod@gmail.com.
The date is March 4th.
Oh yeah, I've got the date. All right,
March 4th, 2024. Goodbye.
Have a good one.